Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Thank you, Jesus. Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth. This is the 332nd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and this is part 5 in our series on Handel and Jennings' Messiah. And today we're going to focus on Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10, Psalm 2, verses 1 through 2, verse 4 and verse 9, Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 and 16, and Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And like I said, part 5 in our series on Messiah. And by now, folks, you ought to know what's coming up next, what I'm going to say next. This is the world's most powerful musical apologetic for the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is. And that's why we're taking 6 weeks and listening to certain parts of it. Now, remember last week we began our survey in what's known as part 2, the Passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this week we're going to conclude the Passion. And once again, I encourage you to go back and listen to all of part 2. You can find it on the internet. If you have any trouble finding it, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com and I'll get you some links. Because we're only going to cover about half of it, but I'm telling you, this entire work is worth listening to and reflecting upon. So just as I've been doing each week in this series, Before we dive in, here's a few more interesting facts about this masterpiece and the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ who's behind it. Now, although this thing, this performance, this masterpiece, this musical apologetic, whatever you want to call it, although it is a success, a huge success in both Christendom, Christianity, and the musical world, when it was first performed in 1742 up in Ireland, that's about all that happened. It took nearly 7 years before it became popular in England and then started to spread across the world. Then once in 1749, when Handel actually conducted it, and he did about 30 times over his lifetime. That time he did it as a benefit for an orphan's hospital, and this particular performance is what sparked it all. It was very well received and people started talking about it. And ever since this benefit performance where Handel conducted back in 1749, Messiah has been performed every year all across the world. And it's the most popular and most often performed piece of music in the entire world in history of music. Now, remember what I told you. Beethoven revered Handel and said he'd take his hat off and kneel at his grave. And he said this out of respect for the composer. These men were godly men. Johann Sebastian Bach, like I told you, signed every one of his works, both personal and professional, with the letters SDG, just as I signed my emails and I entitle all these messages, solely for the glory of God, sola dea gloria. Now listen to what else Beethoven had to say about this man, Handel. He said, go to him. He was talking to other composers and musicians. Go to him to learn how to achieve great effects by such simple means. So what Handel was able to do was in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, take this music and turn it into a masterpiece for the testimony of Jesus, which is, as the Bible says in Revelation 19:9, the spirit of prophecy. So let's dive into our second part of the Passion. And we're going to start with part 33, as these are numbered. And there's 50 parts in Messiah. So we're on part 33. If you want to find the other ones, you just type into your search engine, Handel's Messiah, part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, and you can find all the different parts being performed typically on YouTube. But this is Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. I'm going to read it. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Oh, and by the way, folks, this may be a little different than the actual words in the oratio, but that's because I'm reading this out of the King James, and Jennings took the words for Psalms out of the Book of Common Prayer, which had slight variations. But if you're listening intently and you're following along in your Bible and it's a King James and it doesn't follow exactly, that's why. If you want to follow along exactly, you need to be following the Psalm as it's rendered in the Book of Common Prayer. So here we go, Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. Now that word Selah means reflect upon this, ponder upon it. So as we play part 33, lift up your heads. I just encourage you, Selah. Amen. Jesus is the King of Glory. Praise the Lord. Now just picture this, folks. Go back into the time of King David, where he had the tent, okay? And the priests of King David were carrying the Ark of the Covenant into the tent. Now, this wasn't just some blasé affair. Or picture when King Solomon built the first temple, and they were moving the Ark to its place in the Holy of Holies. This was a regal affair, and I just imagine that this psalm was being sung, okay? And that was just a foretelling of the actual ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into heaven and the reception he received upon his entry to the throne of glory after defeating sin and death on the cross and ascending into heaven, as we're told in the book of Acts. Think about this. The gates of heaven were all shut off in the flesh, including Jesus. And then he became sin for all of us and bore the wrath of God the Father. And then, praise the Lord, the gates of heaven were open, as his blood made this atonement for us, folks. Atonement for all of our sins. He paid it all. See, you know, Selah, ponder this. This is amazing, isn't it? Tell it that I was finished. And then after he finished this incredible work on the cross, and he took captivity captive, he ascended and entered the throne room as the one having all the authority. Jesus is the King of Glory. Amen. The angels were worshiping him. And like it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, they ask with wonder, who is he? Well, it's answered. That is he who is strong and mighty, mighty in battle to save his people and to subdue his and their enemies. And just imagine this being applied to this entrance. I'm saying, just imagine this. When both word and spirit enters into each redeemed soul. Think about this. So this happened when King David and King Solomon moved that ark. This happened when Jesus ascended to glory on his throne after defeating sin and death on the cross and ascending to heaven. And this happens each and every time a lost soul is saved. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Picture this, folks. The doors of the heart are opened by Jesus as that soul's delivered to its rightful owner. And Jesus owns us all. The Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Plus, we can also apply this to his second coming. And just imagine the glorious power we're going to see then. Dear Lord, please open the everlasting doors of our souls by your grace, that we may now receive you and be wholly yours. So if we already know you as Lord and Savior, take away any hidden places in our hearts that aren't yours. And if we don't know you, open that door. Open that door, Father, so that by the fullness of time, we may all be numbered as your saints, as we stand in your glory. Amen? Okay, so let's move on to part 40 now. We're going to skip over 34 through 39, and we're going to go to part 40, but I encourage you to go back and listen to those other parts. Oh, and by the way, that last part, you should all have realized that was about 3 minutes long. I forgot to tell you that. And that was a choral piece. You could hear the different parts of the chorus, asking the question and answering the question. Well, this next piece is about 2.6 minutes long, so about 2 minutes, 40 seconds, and it's taken from Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2, and it's titled, Why Do the Nations So Furiously Rage? And it's sung as a bass expresses this, so it's a very deep voice you're going to hear, and it's an array. So it's Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing. So here it is, part 40. Just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you as we listen to this piece.
So furiously rage together. Why counsel together, take counsel, take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, against the Lord and his anointed.
You know what we just heard? We heard a description, a musical description of the hatred that our very human nature has against our Lord of glory, the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And just listen to what John and Peter said to the Sanhedrin after quoting this passage from Psalms in Acts chapter 4, verses 27 and 28, folks. And I'm going to read this to you. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before it is done. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Read that in some different renderings. Ponder upon that. But I'm telling you, there's no better commentary than what John and Peter said to the Sanhedrin concerning this question asked by the psalmist in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I can't add anything to it, so let's just move on right now to part 3, or our third part for the message today, and that's part 42. So we've skipped over part 41, and this one's titled, He That Dwelleth in Heaven. It's a tenor recitation, and it's very short. It's only 22 seconds long, and it's taken from Psalm chapter 2, verse 4. And I'm going to read that. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. So just listen to this. Oh boy, praise the Lord. So the Lord's going to laugh at those who mock and ridicule him. So just who are those that hold Jesus in contempt? Who's going to do this? Well, remember what the Bible tells us. This world's the kingdom of Satan. So each and every man, woman, and child, folks, who isn't saved, I'm telling you, from every rank, every party, every character, even those that appear so good and pious, they're stirred up and led by Satan to oppose Jesus in the very cause of God. So in general, it's the rulers of the earth who have been the most active in this opposition to God, and then they stir up the masses. And that's because these truths and these precepts that are contained in Christianity and the Bible itself are against the most ambitious projects and worldly lusts that you can imagine. Now, the way the worldly leaders oppose God is to numb and dumb down. They sear and ultimately destroy our consciences, you know, and they eliminate God's commandments from man's view. And isn't that exactly what's happening right now in our culture? You know, where prayer has been outlawed from the school, the Ten Commandments are removed from every public place, and now our culture calls good bad and bad good. Think about it. Every city right now is preparing, every major city right now is preparing for their six-colored rainbow day this spring. And remember, I talked about that last June. You know, homosexuals, men dressed as women, they're going to march proudly down our streets, shaking their angry fists at our just and holy God. I'm telling you, folks, these enemies of God have no good reason for opposing a just and holy government. No good reason other than the Bible says, what the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 19, and I'm going to read that to you. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Folks, that's the only reason for this derision. That's the only reason for this opposition. That's the only reason. Just imagine this, folks. If all would receive this light, love, and life of Jesus, that would bring heaven upon earth. Now, we know that's not going to happen until he returns. But we can know one thing. There's going to be no success in this opposition to such a powerful kingdom that's coming. Jesus is coming. The Lord Jesus has power both on heaven and in earth. He's head over it all. And all things in the church, it's all Jesus. So there's nothing his restless enemies can do. There's nothing they could do. The crown and throne of Jesus are set, and his church is ready in the hearts of all true believers, and they're waiting for Jesus to come back. And he's coming, folks. Jesus is coming. So let's move on to part 43 now. And this is from Psalm chapter 2, verse 9. Thou shalt break them. And this is sung by a tenor in a sonare. And I'm going to read that verse. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So just listen to this. It's about 2 minutes long. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Amen. Folks, you know, this is truth. His enemies will be subject to his terrible power. Read about it in Job chapter 4, verse 9, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And his people subject to his grace. Psalm 110, verses 2 and 3 tell us that. And that rod of iron, that's a severity. Revelation chapter 2, verse 27 reinforces that. And that potter's vessel that's going to be dashed to pieces, it cannot be mended. That describes utter destruction. So now I want to move on to my favorite part, part 44. And you hear it every week here when we open this message. It's the Alleluia chorus. This particular rendering is not the one I play at the beginning of each message. It's a little slower because I want you to reflect upon the words. It's 3 minutes and 55 seconds long. It's taken from Revelation 19, verses 6 and 16, and Revelation 11, 15. So I'm going to read those. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the King of Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and he hath on his vestiture and is his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then from Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Here it is. Praise the Lord. Folks, I just love this passage. I feel like I'm in the very throne room of God. Now, I've loved this ever since I first heard it back in college in the early 80s. And that's why I open every SDG message with it every week. And you know, when Handel got to this part, part 44, and he wrote this thing in about 24 days, remember that. He was found by his aide in his room with tears in his eyes. And when his aide asked him what was going on, he said, "I think I saw heaven open and I saw the very face of God." Now, in a sense, you know, this Messiah, this passage from Messiah is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Just think about this. You know, we learned that the scripture for this chorus came from Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. And it reads, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters. And the voice of many thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Just think about this now.
Every time this passage is played, every time you hear it here on SDG, every time it's performed across the world, and it's usually done at Christmas and Easter time, the message of this prophecy is literally being fulfilled. Now, this stanza from Hallelujah Chorus is the fourth Hallelujah out of Revelation chapter 19. And by the way, it's a wedding music of sort, you know? I like to call it the Hallelujah of our reign of our King and Savior. And it's going to be played when he comes back for his bride. I believe that. Let me read it again from verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So why shouldn't we be singing this Hallelujah when Jesus comes to take over all the affairs of the world? Psalms 97:1, listen to what it says. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the isles be glad thereof. Plus, you know, we've all prayed the Our Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, praise the Lord. Very soon, this will be done. And I'm telling you, the shouts of praise in heavenly places and the hallelujahs will roll across the mountains and valleys of this world. I heard a story once about an old man who was listening to this being performed in London at the Royal Albert Hall. A great choir was singing it just like you just heard. And the old man just stood there with tears streaming down his cheeks as he listened. And somebody saw him crying after it was finished. And he said, old man, why are you crying like that? And he said, that's my Savior they're singing about. Folks, I have that feeling. I have that emotion every time I hear this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our omnipotent God reigneth. Folks, I'm telling you, that's exactly what the wedding music's going to be like when he comes back for his bride. You know, that's the Hallelujah chorus. We're going to sing Hallelujah for the redemption of the saved, for the retribution of the sinner, for the relationship we have with our Lord Jesus Christ, and for the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, what a song it's going to be, isn't it? Folks, I love y'all. Just know that Jesus rules and reigns, regardless of what you're hearing right now with all these FISA court documents, and that Jesus is in control. Pray for President Trump. I think some stuff's going to happen this week. And I'm telling you, Jesus will be back soon to set all wrongs right. Just look up. Peace coming, folks. And I'll be back next week, provided he's willing, to conclude our series on this masterpiece simply called Messiah. Folks, I love y'all. And I'll be praying for his soon return, as I ask you to do too.